Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Her staff, her people, then she did her own success, and she was willing to challenge authority. But still, she didn't have someone to point out her blind spots or help her see how she may have been holding herself back by not making changes that were within her power to make. In other words, she didn't have a coach she was working with, which is what she needs. Coaching, she points out, offers an outsider's point of view and a different perspective. Once she learned how to motivate people and help them see what's in it for them, it significantly changed her trajectory as a leader. So, she spends her time working with clients who are overwhelmed. They are responsible for more work than one person can accomplish, and they are typically navigating change, which can also be very difficult. It's interesting. She points out leaders walk into her every day scared out of their minds because they are just making it up as they go. They haven't had role models ahead of them to bring them along. And the question is, how are you going to respond in a way that you can change outcomes to serve you? And that's what she does for her clients. She helps them see people as people. And emotional intelligence is something that she points out. It's knowing when your emotions are not guiding you in the right direction. It all comes down to being able to assess your thoughts before making decisions. She has a remarkable background. Let's bring her on the line now and talk to her. Again, her name is Danette Suddeth. She's based in Las Vegas, Nevada, and she is a magnificent coach with an extraordinary website. And I'm going to give you that address as we go along. Good afternoon, Danette. Nice to have you with us today. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I'm fascinated with your background and the years you spent in the banking industry, and I know I love the point that you care more about your staff and your people than you did your own self, as you pointed out. Tell me a little bit about what made you want to change your career to becoming a coach and officially be someone who could help other people. When did you make that decision in your life?
I officially started coaching full-time during COVID. A bank that I was working for got bought, and then the acquiring bank eliminated all the positions, and so that was an opportunity for me to start the next chapter of my life.
Wow. Do you enjoy this? I know it's totally different from what you have done before, but you really have the opportunity now to help people in a way that you didn't before, I presume, and people who are, you know, in all different kinds of walks of life, right?
That is one of the biggest benefits of doing executive coaching. I get to work with clients from all different industries, professions, and as you said, walks of life with different backgrounds and globally, quite honestly, right, with everything we've learned through technology, the majority of my coaching I do now through Zoom.
Really? Well, you started this during COVID, so you kind of didn't have any choice. It had to be through Zoom. Do you find that you can do as well on the telephone or on Zoom as you could in person with clients? How do you feel about that?
I don't think it's the same. I think that it can be very effective, but being able to read people and just having that, you know, multiple dimensional aspect on one-on-one. I still do face-to-face meetings and get a lot more out of that. But
right.
Where it's effective, I certainly feel like we can make connections, you know, very effectively through technology now. It's just different. It definitely requires you just focus on things differently than you would if you're able to, you know, be in person with somebody.
Yeah. You know, I love the quote you have, that the leaders who come to work every day scared out of their minds because they're making it up as they go along, primarily because they haven't had a role model to help them. Do you find that's really true? They come in and talk to you and say, look, I'm making this up as I go along. I need help.
I do, and a lot of it comes from their managers, supervisors, bosses, leaders are also overwhelmed, and they're trying to figure things out as they go along. People are having to change what they're doing very quickly, and as positions have been vacated, companies are still trying to make a profit. People either don't get replaced as quickly, they can't find the talent, and that work has to get picked up along the way. So people are sometimes being promoted without given the opportunity to really figure out how to do that new job with a, you know, tried and true training program. It's more baptism by fire. And I work with them to just focus on what's important, try to ask really good questions to get them thinking about what success looks like in that role and create as much clarity as they can to drive their behaviors and actions from day to day.
Obviously, I gather from what you're saying, COVID has had some series of major impacts in the world of business, big business. Would that be right?
Absolutely, yes. Big and small, but yes, absolutely.
What is amazing is that a lot of people now have learned they can do the job they were doing in the office. They can do it just as well as home. They don't have to commute back and forth. And a lot of them don't want to go back to their offices. And companies are recognizing this, and things are changing, which is just one of the main areas. There have been so many changes. Talk about how you help people when they come into you. What kind of process do you go through with them to help them on the road to recovery, so to speak? How would you answer that?
The main thing that we focus on initially is what is it that they want to accomplish and get as much clarity as we can around the change that they want to create. The benefit of being a coach is I get to ask the questions. It's not my answers. It's my client's answers. You know, what's going to work best for them? And oftentimes helping them really focus on what that is that's most important for them and then seeing it from another point of view, because everybody, we all have blind spots. We need another perspective to help us see those possibilities and then create a plan and from that accountabilities. You know, an expression I was taught as a kid, you know, was practice makes perfect, and that's not true. Actually, practice makes permanent. Another good friend of mine told me that expression once, and it really resonated. So it's just creating those behaviors that can then become automatic to help them accomplish the goal that they want. And then lastly, focusing on why that goal is important to them, because change is hard. It's hard for most people, and you've got to, you know, be, while it is simple, it is not easy. Oftentimes, it's the simplest things that require the most energy, and just helping them stay focused and accountable for that. They know they're going to be talking to me next week, so they've got three things they said they were going to do. Half of the time, I know they don't do it until the day of or the day before, you know, we're going to have our next meeting. So it really helps with that, that accountability.
When you talk about blind spots do hold people back. Talk to me about some of how you determine what a blind spot might be for someone who comes in that they haven't recognized. And it's interesting because on your website you really list some of the things that are blind spots that people probably don't think about a whole lot. Like, for example, how they're perceived by others. Do you think that's something, you know, executives think much about? Or not?
No, I don't. I think that's the biggest area of opportunity for a lot of people is really thinking about how their actions are impacting other people and understanding that intent does not equal impact. And if you really want to be effective, then you have to focus on the other person and how you're impacting them, not just on yourself, and looking at it from their point of view. One of my frequent questions that I'll ask clients is, what's important to your boss? How is your manager being measured? And if they can't answer that, which most people can't, they don't think of it in those terms, well, then how do you know what's important to them, and how are the things that you're doing moving the needle towards that goal? And really, instead of thinking just about their own circumstance and their own situation, when somebody's offended them or they haven't gotten the information that they've needed, they've been left out of a meeting. You know, there's a dozen different examples of where people can get kind of mired down in their own frustrations. Looking at it from somebody else's point of view, you know, what would be in it for your boss to do that? You know, what do they need from you for this to work well? And just asking those types of questions that get people thinking more open-mindedly. And that's a big part of the coaching process, is to keep people in an open-minded perspective.
You mentioned other things like being aware of the impact they have on others. Ineffective communication. I mean, communication is really key for an executive to be an effective, you know, executive. If they're not effective in their communication, that's a real problem. How does one, how do you determine whether someone is an effective communicator?
Generally speaking, if they're not getting the results that they want from their people, then it's a communication issue. And just trying to dig at that a little bit to figure out what role they're playing. Are they asking enough of the right questions? Because oftentimes as leaders, especially leaders who've been at it a while, they think they have to have all of the answers. And getting them to think more in terms of, what do you need to know from your people? What do your people need to know from you? It can save a lot of time to slow down and really make sure that the clarity that is needed on both sides is achieved. Are you, you know, repeating what they're telling you? Are you reinforcing the time frame? Oftentimes, they just don't even set deadlines. You know, I need this right now. Well, clearly I'm sitting in front of you, so you're not getting it right now. You know, when do you really need it by? And providing a language, a common language that they can use with their team so that everybody understands what is expected of each other, and getting that buy-in, if you will, instead of, you know, I'm just doing my job. Well, can you do your job well if the person sitting on either side of you isn't doing their job well? Oftentimes it's that the communication around the bigger picture that people don't have, and once they understand that, then they'll achieve greater levels of success and higher performance out of their teams.
Give me a picture of the typical kind of client who comes to you, and what they need. What are they looking for? Sometimes I would assume it's a leader who's gotten an elevated position and may not feel qualified or ready for it, and they're aware of it. You know, their boss may not be, but they feel that way. That happens, doesn't it?
It does. It's the term that we use, it's referred to as imposter syndrome. It is more prevalent in women than men, but men also have it, and it's where you don't think you deserve to be in the room. You're afraid they're going to figure out that you don't know things. And really helping them shift that point of view to a learner mindset and understand that mistakes are okay. And as a learner, you know, when you're learning something, how do you feel when somebody's supporting you? Allow somebody else to be that support for you and to teach you things, especially for new leaders or people put into a new position. Oftentimes the same behavior skill sets that got them that position. Marshall Goldsmith has a great book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And it's understanding how you land differently when you're in a leadership role, some of those, you know, ripples in the water, if you will, that the things that you used to say without thought, now people are acting on those. And Nelson Mandela is one of the people who said, you know, he was always last to speak. And that's just another tip, you know, that I usually share with new leaders. When you're trying to get promoted, you know, you want to be seen. You want to have visibility into everything, you know, that you're trying to accomplish. But now when you're the most senior person in the room, in order to get the best out of your people, you have to let them share their points of view first before you speak, because otherwise they're just going to follow your lead. And you'll end up with groupthink, and then you can't figure out why there isn't any innovation. You know, so things like that, it's really just – peeling back the situation and the circumstance and understanding the drivers of the behaviors and trying to look at it from multiple points of view. An analogy that I often use in my webinars is if I'm standing face-to-face with you, I could be describing the ocean and you could be describing the mountains, and we're both standing in the exact same spot. And so as a new leader, you want to stand shoulder to shoulder with your people and look at the same thing they're looking at, have them describe it to you, and then turn around and look at it from your point of view and then describe it to them. And that is where that communication often comes into play.
Tell me a little bit about how you help clients discover the strengths they didn't think they had, which help them forward in their, you know, in their success, their road to success. How do you go about doing that?
One of the first questions I will ask them is, what comes naturally to you? What are the things that people compliment you on doing or that you don't realize is important for other people that you just do instinctively? A lot of times we think the things that come naturally to us that are easy for us, what's easy for you? And that is a strength. Whatever's easy for you may not be easy for somebody else. In fact, it could be very difficult for them, and that's why they're admiring it in you. And then doing more of that. Where can you find opportunities to do the things that are very natural for you? And then making sure that people acknowledge that that's a strength of theirs and leveraging that in other situations. So somebody who may be a good listener, you know, if they're a good listener at home, how can you be a better listener at work? Where can you leverage that? And I'm just using that as an example. But oftentimes it's other things that they, you know, can easily connect people. They hear a conversation, somebody's doing something, and, you know, they identify a need and they know somebody else, you know, who they should be able to talk to. Being able to connect those dots, if that's something that you do naturally, that can be a very important aspect in your career growth, and recognizing that as a skill instead of just taking it for granted, and then leveraging that in your position. You know, how can you use that and make sure that you're doing more of it as you want to move forward in your career? That's, you know, one of those things that I've worked with on a client on recently.
I know you point out your executive coaching services will help the client devise an actionable strategic plan to help them get where they want to be. So the question really is, how long and in how much in depth do you get with a client? You don't successfully, you know, manage that in one or two meetings. I would assume you worked with clients for quite a period of time. How long typically?
Typically 6 months, sometimes 3. But it can happen quickly, Doug. One of my favorite examples is a client had been talking about wanting to do a podcast and just hadn't had the time, and I'm kind of air quoting, right, hadn't had the time to get started on it, and had a whole bunch of things that they really needed to do for that. And about 30 or 45 minutes into our meeting, I said, what's the next step for you? Really, it's about, you know, what's the next step that you can do? And before we end a meeting, I asked them to, you know, summarize the things that they felt has been most useful and what are the things mm-hmm. that they're going to do next. And this client said, well, you know, the microphone's still in the box. And I said, well, take it out. The next step to getting, don't worry about the recording and all the technology and all of that. Just take the microphone out of the box. And now they've done 20 episodes. It really was just that next step in making it as easy and simple as, you know, what's the next thing we need to do to make progress and keep some forward momentum going.
Talk to me about emotional intelligence. What is emotional intelligence?
The first thing I always tell people about emotional intelligence is the absolute best news is it is 100% something you can learn. It's not, some people are born with more of it than others, but it is all behavior driven, and it is basically being able to say the right thing to the right person at the right time to the right degree. So if someone is upset or they're mad or they're angry or they're afraid, they will not receive new information effectively. It's the physiological function of our brain, and we've all heard about fight, flight, or freeze. You know, we're built to survive. So you have to get people out of that survival mode into that executive function and thinking of the brain. And the biggest thing I teach people with emotional intelligence is pausing. That's the simplest, best way to get the thinking part of your brain working is to pause. Because the minute we start reacting instead of responding, we're in a negative or threat-induced mindset. And so it's really the model that I'm certified on is through Genos International, and we have 6 core competencies: self-awareness, awareness of others, authenticity, emotional reasoning, self-management, and inspiring performance, which all are really in alignment with the whole purpose of your radio show. So it's really fantastic. People who have higher level behaviors that reinforce these core competencies generally do well, and that's why I work with my clients to first and foremost create that self-awareness. You know, what are you doing and why are you doing it? How is it serving you? What would you like to do better? And then I give them very simple, quick tips or behaviors to work on. Don't speak if your problem is interrupting people, you know. Wait and then ask a question before you give an answer. Things like that that can be, change the questions that you're asking. Don't ask yes or no questions. Ask an open-ended question. You know, what can you learn? How can you increase somebody's engagement with you by just asking them, you know, how did this impact you? Things like that.
That's very, very interesting. I'm also amazed by what you say is what you do with your clients is help them see people as people. Talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, another one of my favorite authors is Brené Brown, and she says it's really hard to hate up close. And so where I have clients who are emotionally charged about situations with coworkers or their managers, I try to get them to think about it from the manager's point of view or that coworker's point of view. A new manager who is, quote, micromanaging is the problem that's being proposed to me, I'll ask the question, why do you think they're doing that? What would make them want to micromanage? And really talk through that situation. They're new into the position, filling in for the manager who just left. How can you make their job a success for them so that they aren't afraid of being criticized? Questions like that to help them put that person in a more empathetic perspective, and it's really about creating that empathy for somebody else's point of view. That's when I say, you know, help them see them as people. You know, everybody, I believe most people are trying to do their best. And that's why I love coaching, because it's just helping people do more of what they're already good at and kind of see that forest for the trees, if you will, but help them see other people in that same perspective.
The website is suddethinc.com, and it's spelled S-U-D-D-E-T-H-I-N-C, suddethinc.com. If you go there, you will learn all about her background. She is passionate about coaching executives to reach the pinnacle of their professions through what she calls strategic planning and making the most out of opportunities. She has a lot more to offer, and the remarkable thing is Danette will be back with us again next week at this same time. That's October 20th at 3 p.m. East Coast time. She'll be here with Jim Masters and can continue her conversations all about her experience and about how she helps people who really need coaching from someone with her background. She's remarkable, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So until next week, I hope you'll be back and join her then. And for now, I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcasts and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.